Yo, happy Tuesday, everyone. My name is Justin Moore, founder of Creator Wizard, and you are back for another live stream today. We are talking about secret holiday pitch frameworks that brands can't ignore. Was that a juicy title for today's live stream? I am going live across YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, you name it, and I'm very excited to chat today about the holidays. Can you believe it? We are sitting here in August, and I'm talking about the holidays. What on earth is going on? So let me know where you're tuning in from. I'm seeing Megan Moves tuning in on Instagram. We've got some folks trickling in on YouTube and LinkedIn and so on. And today I am very excited because I have something extremely important to announce today. The Sponsor Magnet podcast is now live, y'all. Holy cow, let's go. Let's go. I'm very excited about this. So as you know, I have had a podcast over the last 3 years called Creator Debates. Again, did three seasons of it, had a blast. But ultimately, what I really love talking about at the end of the day is sponsorships. And so I was like, you know what? I want to have a podcast where this is all I really talk about. And again, this is like, I could think of 1,000 different angles to discuss, and there's no podcast like featuring sponsorship strategy. And so again, going back to my whole ethos around like, what am I trying to build with this business? And it's really trying to carve out this niche all around helping people land more lucrative brand partnerships. And so having a podcast is a big part of that, specifically related to this. So I see Calvin Brown tuning in on YouTube. Good to see you here, Calvin. My ADV360 says, holidays already? Oh, man. The first episode of the podcast is dope. Thank you very much. I super appreciate it. So for those of you who would find value in listening to more long-form conversations with various creators, and actually my first episode was with Nir Eyal, who's a best-selling author, wrote Hooked and Indistractable, sold a million books, and he is someone who has never done sponsorships in earnest. And so the conversation was all around, is this something that he should even be considering in his business? And if I could pat myself on the back, I think by the end of that discussion, he felt fairly convinced that sponsorships is something that he should pursue. So very excited about this. These live streams are also going to be featured on as kind of a bonus episode on the podcast stream, because it's feedback I've gotten like, oh, man, I would really love to be able to like listen to the replays of these live streams as well in a audio format. So really excited to play around with a new format. I will also say some very exciting news, which is that my good buddy Joe Casabona, who is my lead sponsorship coach in my Wizards Guild coaching program, is my co-host for the podcast. And so he actually might be joining us a bit later into the stream. We'll see. But Joe is great. Him and I have a blast kind of riffing on all sorts of stuff related to sponsorships. So in some upcoming episodes, you'll see Joe featured. So very, very excited about this. We've got Shay K Review It tuning in on YouTube. Good to see you here. We've got the Literacy View, Lean Digital Marketer, Rashid Mier, Barshali tuning in on Instagram. Good to see you here. We got my man Gannon tuning in on Instagram. Gannon is an absolute legend, y'all. He helped me recently devise a many chat strategy for my Instagram. And so I'm very excited to employ that soon as well. Why don't we dive into it today? So of course, as with every week, I do these for y'all. So any questions that you have around brand partnerships, negotiations, pricing, package strategy, you name it, I will be so happy to answer those a bit later on. So again, the topic of today is holiday brand pitching strategies. And you might be thinking, Justin, dude, we are sitting here in August and you're talking to me about the holidays. But y'all, August is holiday planning season. It's not holiday execution season. Okay. So one of the things I talk about constantly is that if you're trying to land deals in early November, which is when a lot of these holiday deals start executing, you got to be thinking multiple months out, because right now the brand is sitting in their boardroom, or they're on a Zoom call if they're all remote, figuring out how are we going to allocate this $500,000 that we're going to spend for our holiday campaign, and who are we going to give that to? And so now is the time to start hitting up these brand contacts, whether it's, you know, if it's relationships that you already have, that's a good thing, because those are warm leads, obviously, but especially if they're cold, right? You haven't had a connection with that brand yet. Now is the time that you need to be reaching out. If other creators are going to be waiting until, you know, October, November, when those budgets are already allocated and those timelines are already locked, right? You are going to be reaching out to these brands shortly, in the next week or two, right? While those brands are still building those Q4 strategies out, right? And have flexibility to add partners onto that strategy, right? One of the things I talk about a lot is, like, you know, these brands, they're often Tetrising these budgets together, right? So if they've got that 500 grand that I mentioned, they may be reaching out or planning to reach out or planning to engage 30 creators in that holiday campaign. But if they were wanting to move forward with 30, they may have to reach out to 100 or 200 people to ultimately whittle it down to the 30 people that they're ultimately going to move forward with. One of the things I talk about in my book, Sponsored Magnet, is, you know, when I ran my agency, if I was to reach out to, you know, 100 creators, which we have done on campaigns before, this is how it would ultimately go down. 50% of creators would never respond. Literally, they would never respond to the email. 25%. In fact, I have the stats here. I could literally break it down for you. I want to actually show you this page, because I have it right here. Page 19 in the book. Okay. So I talk about the different percentages. So 50% would never respond. 25% would take at least a week to respond. 15% would respond promptly, but couldn't participate due to schedule conflicts or other obligations, which came up all the time. 5% would respond promptly but be available, but charge too much. And 5% would respond promptly and be available and within budget. So of the 100 people, sometimes only 5 people would be able to move forward. So you have to, it's crazy, but this is how it oftentimes works when you're reaching out to a bunch of partners to basically kick the tires. And so again, realizing that these brands are, if you look at some of these very, very large advertisers, let's say Ford, for example. Ford, I think I saw a stat recently that they spent $2 billion on advertising last year. Do you know how hard it is to deploy $2 billion of marketing capital? Do you have any idea how difficult that is? You can't just show up and be like, okay, we're going to run holiday campaigns. We've got the, you know, how about Lexus? We've got the December to Remember sales event, right? All those ads that you see in November and December for that sales event, they have to tell the TV networks that they want to run those ads super far in advance. So it's the same philosophy. If you're going to be spending hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, doing marketing, doing advertising during the holiday season, you have to plan super, super far in advance. I've shared this anecdote before that when I ran my agency, we would get RFPs all the time, requests for proposals, that would be so far in advance. The furthest in advance I ever got one was 14 months. A very large, let's call it restaurant company, wanted to run a campaign. I got the RFP in January, and it was for the following March, not in 2 months, but in 14 months. So this is, and the campaign was going to be $1 million. So again, is this resonating? Drop it in the chat. Give me a one if this is resonating. Let me know if you're going to commit to this and realizing, like, okay, yes, Justin, I would love to get some holiday brand deals. Because remember, you know, you're thinking holidays here, but like, what is one of the largest shopping periods of the year? Well, it's around Black Friday and Cyber Monday, which is right after Thanksgiving in the United States, and then that Monday following it. I can't remember the stat, but like a huge, huge amount of sales happen for brands during that time period. I've seen stats that like some brands actually backload their marketing budget to 50% of their spend happens in the last 2 months of the year. 50% of their spend for the entire year happens in the last 2 months. Can you realize, can you believe that? So I'm glad to see that we're getting some validation here from Charisse, from MyADV360, from Calvin Brown, from Shay K. This is what I want to hear. Let's go. All right. So the first thing is committing here that we're going to start planning our outreach strategy or the nurturing strategy. If we're going to follow up with the brand that we maybe worked with in the spring or follow up with the brand that maybe work with over the summer, this is the time to start doing that, to stay top of mind. Because remember, again, especially if you've done campaigns with a brand before, they probably are working with a lot of other people, maybe hundreds of people. I don't know, especially if it's a large brand. And so they can't, it's hard to keep track of like every single creator that they've worked with and like, and they may not know that you would be even be interested in doing a holiday campaign with them, right? And so you actually coming to them and proposing this idea, again, just jogs their memory that like, oh yeah, Justin was a great person to work with. We should slot him in to this holiday campaign that we're planning. Okay. Making sense. Feeling good. All right. Love to see it here. Okay. So, the next thing that I want to talk about here is the, what I guess you could kind of call the budget anxiety window. Okay. Which is that, brands are absolutely thinking about right now that like we need to hit our Q4 revenue targets. And maybe they haven't finalized their marketing spend for that quarter. So positioning yourself as a strategic partner who can help them plan, not just execute on their marketing, on their holiday success is critical. So again, we talk about a lot that brands don't just care about the fact that you get lots of views or have lots of followers or lots of engagement or impressions. That's not what they care about. What they care about is their own business objectives, their own goals, right? And so if they're sitting here thinking that, wow, Q3 revenue was soft, I absolutely can't have that happen again. We need to hit our numbers in Q4. What can we do in order to hit those numbers in Q4? And then here you come, a shining beacon of light. You've got this cape wrapped around your neck. Their savior, you're going to help them say, hey, look, I would love to help you capture mindshare in the holiday season. I don't know what your current plans are looking like. Maybe you do some research and see what they did last year. Are you planning on doing that again? Do you have other ideas? I actually have this whole list of ideas of what I could do to help you. I think a lot of creators they look in the mirror and they don't look at themselves as a consultant. They look at themselves as a creator, someone who has lots of followers or views or subscribers or whatever it is. And they think, what possible value could I ever bring to a brand that is making millions of dollars, maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue a year? What value could I possibly bring to that brand? And I'm here to tell you a lot. You can bring a huge amount of value. In fact, I was just chatting with my friend Matt Ragland about this on his a summit that I was just a part of earlier today. And we talked about this idea about clawing back the ownership over what you think is normal when it comes to collaborating with a brand. One of the things I do constantly is provide feedback to a brand that I'm about to do a sponsorship with helping them understand how they should improve their landing pages. So they're saying, hey, yeah, we're going to collaborate. And then they send me this link being like, hey, drive people here. And I look at that landing page and I think, this is terrible. The copy is bad. The headline is not clear. The copy on the button or the call to action of what they're actually trying to get people to do, or it's at the very bottom. The features of the benefits are not super clear. Providing that feedback to the brand is so rare. And a lot of you think here, like, okay, yeah, but who am I? Justin, I'm not a copywriter. I'm not a user experience expert. Look, if you're someone, okay, let's talk about this here. If you are someone who actually does sell things directly to your audience, maybe in addition to doing sponsorships, you have a course or you have a paid community or you sell books or you have digital products or whatever it is, you may have sales pages, for that. You may have studied what does it actually mean to get someone excited about purchasing this thing. If you are someone who has done webinars in the past, you probably know that the only thing that you want people to do when they land on that squeeze page is to opt into your webinar. There should be no navigation at the top, no other buttons that they can click. The only thing that they can do is enter their email and click submit. And so if you come to the brand and be like, hey, on this landing page where it's brand.com/creator wizard, get rid of the navigation bar. Have the only thing on there be maybe a little video of me talking about why I love the product and one button here of like, here, click, you know, sign up for a free trial. That's it. That's all they can do. That's all they can do. And if you're the one who comes to them, you may be the very first person who has ever told them that. Is this making sense? Let me know. Give me the mind blown emoji if this is making sense. Give me the flex muscle arm emoji in the chat. Is this making sense to you? I am trying to just blow confidence into you. Puff that chest up and look yourself in the mirror and be like, you know what? I do have value. I do have knowledge that I've gained over the, like, let's talk about this for a second. If you are someone who is creating social media content, creating content on the internet to be consumed by your audience, you have studied what works and doesn't work. You have studied what hooks work in a short form piece of content. You've studied how to maximize the first 30 seconds of retention in a YouTube video if you are a YouTuber. You have studied how to make a compelling thumbnail to get someone to click, because you know that if they don't even click, you can work as hard as you want on the YouTube video, but if they don't click on that dang thumbnail and they're not excited about that title and how the title plays in comparison to the thumbnail, they're not gonna watch the video. So that's hugely valuable information and contextual education that you can provide to a brand partner to say, like, look, I understand how this stuff works. And yeah, maybe this content isn't going live on your platform, but here's why it matters that you listen to me about this type of thing. Jeff Ramirez says, say it loud for people in the back. Let's go. Jeff says, I want to be someone with a cape for brands out there. If there are any brands seeing, if there are any brands out there seeing this, let's work together. There we go. Jeff is shooting his shot. There we go. Shay's got the muscle arm emoji. My ADV360's got the fire emoji. So yeah, I am going to pull up my Instagram chat because my web browser died and I can't see who's commenting on my live stream. So there we go. Tuning in right now. Okay. Got that. So yeah, let me know if this is resonating in the chat. So again, if you're just tuning into this, we are talking about holiday brand pitching strategies that brands cannot ignore. We just talked about this budget anxiety window thing, which is that if brands are concerned that they're not going to hit their Q4, you know, revenue targets, let's say, how can you position yourself as someone that they can lean on to help you accomplish that, right? And again, you may be fearful of making promises like that. Like, Justin, I can't guarantee that brands are going to like hit their number just by working with me. That's not really what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they're going to bet the farm on you, but the insights that you could potentially provide to them may inform how they engage with other partners. And now all of a sudden they're looking at you again as a consultant. You're not just another creator. You're someone bringing a lot of value to the table for them that exceeds this commoditized perspective that they may have had about you previously. Maybe they were working with 100 partners a month and you were just one of those 100, but you're the one reaching out and saying, you know, one thing I actually think is a powerful thing to do if you are trying to re-engage a past partner is put together something that I call a relationship recap report. So maybe you haven't worked with a brand for 9 months or 12 months or whatever, and you want to get a holiday deal. And the last time you worked with them was like last January or something. And you say, I don't even know what I could say to them to, you know, if I were to reach out. Well, what you do is you go back there and let's say you made 6 videos with them over the last 12 months. Go back, Get all those videos, get all the stats off those videos, whether it's public facing numbers. I'm just saying videos just for conversation's sake. Go and copy and paste all of the comments from all of those videos, dump them all into a large language model like ChatGPT or Claude or something, and start playing with this information. Say, what are the top five takeaways, or what are the top five comments that my audience made on this content? What are the top five things that comments that my audience made about the brand? Are there any comments directly related to the brand? Are there any negative or neutral comments that people left about the brand? And then when you put together this recap report for the brand, you basically come to them and say, look, I loved collaborating with you, last year. And I thought it would be valuable if I put this together as a reminder of how awesome our partnership was, especially if maybe there was turnover in the position. Maybe the person that you worked with previously isn't even there anymore. And so the new contact has no idea who you are. And so you coming to them with this relationship recap summary, they now realize like, oh, wow, Justin's actually a really good partner. We should re-engage with him because he was able to show me this summary of like all the amazing things that, that he did with my predecessor. Is this making sense? Putting together these recap reports can be super, super powerful to showcase to brands what you're actually bringing to the table. By the way, this is also something that I recommend people do when they're trying to convince brands to pay them more money. Maybe you worked with a brand for a long time and you felt like you were stuck at this price precedent where they were paying you $1,000 a video or whatever it is. And they're like, how can I get more? I want to get to 3-5K per video. How do I even make that happen? The wrong move is to say, I think it's only fair that you pay me more because I'm, awesome. And I was only doing it for you as a favor. And that was the trial rate. And the brands just like, they throw their hands up and they're like, yeah, we're good. We like the way things have been going. Do you want the $1,000 a video or not? Like, take it or leave it. And then people feel stuck and they feel sheepish and they're like, okay, well, I guess I gotta take this deal because, I need the money, right? And so what I advise you is like, okay, let's put together this recap report. And in addition to that, you're providing them new and different ideas about other things that you could do for them moving forward, not more of the same. It's a dead end trying to convince a brand that it's only fair that they pay you more. Now, look, I get it. Let's say your audience has grown significantly. Maybe prior to partnering with, initially when you partnered with them, you were doing, 1,000 views on average or downloads, on a podcast episode or something. And now you're doing 10,000. Like, of course, there's some justification there. But a lot of people try to make the justification with nothing has changed. And so, like, look at it from the perspective of your brand contact. If they were to go to their superior, or if it's an agency, if they were to go to the client and say, Justin's demanding twice as much money, the client or the boss is going to be like, why? Why are they demanding more money? Are they getting a lot more views? Are they offering to do us like double the amount of content? What are they offering to do? And so this is really the unlock is like, how can I put myself in the shoes of the marketer, arm them with some sort of fodder or collateral, and the recap report can be that fodder so that their superior or their colleague understands the justification behind asking for more money. Is this making sense? Is this going to help y'all negotiate some more lucrative deals for the holidays? Drop a one in the chat. Drop the diamond emoji. Drop the money with the wings. Come on, give me something here. We've got Hanadi from the KMH family. Good to see you here. Jeff Ramirez says, pay me more. Why? Because I have good vibes. You know what? I don't know if good vibes are gonna do it here, Jeff. That's what I'm saying. You got to do that relationship recap report. Okay. All right. We're talking about holiday brand pitching strategies here that will get these emails responded, that you will get responses on these emails. The next thing I want to cover here is pitching multi-touch campaigns. So what I mean by this is, instead of just pitching one-off engagements for the holidays, why not propose campaigns that might build momentum from September, like back to school or fall, through January? So you've got back to school, you've got Halloween, you've got Black Friday and Cyber Monday, you've got Christmas, you've got New Year's, you know, like kind of New Year, New You resolution type things. That could be really interesting for a brand who does have some sort of seasonal components to their products and could see the value in these multiple touch points. And the thing that you'll say to them is like, hey, actually, we are as part of this, I will do monthly calls with you to analyze the data from this past integration that I did for the back to school thing or the September or fall thing or whatever, and use that to inform our October video for the, you know, the Halloween video or whatever. Right. And so you're constantly iterating on what people are saying about the product, questions that people are asking, clarifications needed, especially if there's particular themes that you're noticing of multiple people saying similar things about it. Then again, you can use that to inform what you talk about next. You think any creators are offering to do stuff like that? Again, leaning into this whole consultant mindset, no one's offering to do that. Again, also, they may have never considered this idea about doing this multi-touch point thing once a month or twice a month or whatever over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months or whatever. Again, that was not in their mind, but it was you who brought this to them. Caleb says, as someone who mostly reviews music making gear, I get a lot of inbound from brands wanting to send gear for reviews. How do I turn these into paid opportunities without compromising my ethics? Caleb, this is a really interesting question, and I think it's a great opportunity to talk about this right now. So again, I say this constantly, but like, let's put our hat on, pretend that we are the marketing manager at this, you know, brand, this music instrument brand, let's say. What are they trying to get out of sending you gear and sending these reviews? Well, I'm gonna speculate. I don't know, but I'm just going to assume. Let's say that this particular, you know, we want to show up, because a lot of people, when they're trying to decide whether to purchase a multi-$1,000 bass guitar or drum set or something, we have noticed, we've seen through research that people, they go to YouTube to check this out, and they're searching for something. They're searching for best 5-string bass or something. I'm a musician, so I'm making stuff up here, right? But like, maybe that's what they've identified. And so that's a really interesting goal that the brand might have, but never tell you about. So they're just coming and reaching out to you and being like, hey, Caleb, review our music gear for free for a review in exchange for the gear. Most creators are either saying like yes or no, or, oh, hey, will you pay me money? And the brand says, no, the bass guitar is expensive, so do you want it or not? I've got a line of 100 people behind me or behind you who will take it for free. Do you want it or not? And then it ends there. The trail stops cold there. However, if you are to say, well, tell me what your goal is with these types of collaborations. What are you hoping that will be accomplished if I make reviews like this? And they could say a bunch of things. They could say the SEO thing I just mentioned. They could say actual sales of the product. They could say that our new 5-string bass guitar is groundbreaking because of XYZ reasons. I don't know what they're going to say. Every brand's going to say something different. But depending on what they say, you need to pivot into a proposal where it's clear to them why they should pay you money. So for example, if SEO is a big part of this, and that's what they say, maybe the pitch becomes, you go look at their YouTube channel. Do they have a YouTube channel? Oh, no, they don't have a YouTube channel. Well, maybe you propose to them, hey, I would love to do this, but you know what? I would love to create these 7 videos for you that you post on your YouTube channel, and they will be completely optimized for that long tail search traffic on YouTube. Because here's the 7 keywords for the 5-string bass guitar that I think you should be ranking for, and I don't see you anywhere on there. And so I will use my expertise, my competence, because I know how to do this. I have a YouTube channel for this. I'm gonna help you do that and package these properly. I'll make the thumbnail, I'll do everything, but that goes on your YouTube channel. So you may not have any sort of ethical quandary because you're not posting it on your YouTube channel. This is content you're creating for the brand to use. This is a total random example. But is this making sense, Caleb? Maybe you can drop it in the chat if this is resonating. And guess what, y'all? Guess what? Guess what? We've got Joe Casabona tuning in.
Woo!
Right now. Let's go. What's going on, dude?
Hey, not too much. Glad to be, sorry I came in late and glad to be here.
Don't even apologize. Tell us why you were late though, Joe.
Oh, well, I was talking to somebody who's interested in joining the Wizards Guild coaching program.
Let's go, let's go. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Joe, I mentioned at the top of this that Joe is my lead coach in our sponsorship coaching program. This is actually something we've kind of started doing recently, right? Where, look, we understand that it's a non-trivial investment to do sponsorship coaching with us. And so, Joe, you've started actually taking some calls with a few people who just had some questions about like whether it was a good fit for them or not. And so if anyone's listening or watching who is interested in the coaching program, maybe in the replay of this, Joe, we can put the link to have a chat with you there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to answer any questions. I've told Justin that I'm a bad hard sell guy. I'm just a guy who answers questions. And then if it makes sense, and I think you would agree with this. If it doesn't make sense, we'll straight up tell you it doesn't make sense. But
we actually have said that more times than not, actually, I think. Yeah. Like, someone will submit an application, especially for private coaching, and we kind of go back and forth and say, like, you know, tell us about your goals and all that. And most of the time we'll steer them towards other things like, hey, read the book first, or, you know, go watch these three YouTube videos, or go make more content. Like, actually, quite a few people have come to us wanting to get more sponsors and they haven't posted in 6 months or a year or something like that. And oftentimes our advice is like, you really need to build up the muscle of content consistency before, you know, trying to embark on a sponsor strategy, because that's one of the first things that a sponsor will look for is, hey, is this, if I hired this person, how's the content going to perform once they upload it? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I would never sell you a Ferrari if you tell me you don't have your driver's license and you've never even seen a car before. Right. Like, that's just, so, you know, we want you to get your driver's license. Then you can, I guess I'm saying Wizards Guild is the Ferrari of coaching programs. But
that was so smooth. That was so smooth. This actually was kind of YOLO. I told Joe this morning, I was like, hey, dude, do you have any time you want to jump in on the live stream? And it was very much impromptu. But Joe, what we're talking about today is holiday brand deals already, right? We're sitting here in August, and some of the stuff, just the TLDR version, or TLDW maybe, was just like, start now. Like this, this is especially, you know, for some of these larger brands, they may be actively reaching out to people now, or maybe in the next couple of weeks, to lock people in for, you know, these campaigns. I've done holiday campaigns that literally activated like November 1st, which is not that far from now. That's like literally 2.5 months. And so, especially if these are campaigns that are more involved, or they require them sending stuff to you and you trying it out, like time goes fast. And, that was really kind of the theme of today's conversation, was needing to start now.
Yeah. So I'm listening to a podcast called How We Made Your Mother. Mm-hmm. Getting all choked up about it. How I Met Your Mother is one of my favorite shows, and it's a rewatch podcast. And the guy who played Ted and one of the creators talk about it. And they were talking about their first Christmas episode and how weird it was to be recording an episode of the show where they're like in Christmas mode in like September or August. But like if a Christmas album comes out in October, right? How long did it take to record that? Or if it needs to be ready to go the week before Christmas, how long does it take to record that? And the same thing goes with brand deals, right? You can't a week before Black Friday reach out to a brand and be like, hey, what are you doing for Black Friday? They know it's all scheduled. There's so you want to get in as early as possible.
One thing I got to call out here, which is so funny to me, is, Joe, guess who we have in the chat today? We have Bao Magic, who did the F1 partnership, bro.
No way.
Okay, so we got to talk about this. So I mentioned at the top of this that Joe is my new co-host for the Sponsor Magnet podcast, which just dropped yesterday, which we're very excited about.
And I have sound effects.
Are you going to do some sound effects? I'm waiting.
Maybe.
That was way louder than I expected.
Sorry.
I don't have an air horn. That is one sound effect I don't have. You know what I'm going to do for the loudness of that air horn? I'm going to give you this, Joe.
I'm going to give you
that one.
I do dance parties in my basement with my kids, and the air horn has to be loud over their music, you know?
That's a great one. Okay. So I lost my train of thought. Okay. So yes, the podcast. And the reason that this is funny that you're here about is that we did a whole episode that's going to be released in a bit about the F1 movie. And one of the things that we were talking about is that we were surprised that there was not more creator activations as part of this movie, because it was very unique. Right. And so one of the things we talked about on this episode was how Apple actually got $40 million of brand sponsorship dollars for the fictitious team in the movie. So if you looked at Brad Pitt's fire suit, basically when he was driving on screen, it had real brand logos on there, like Expensify and Tommy Hilfiger and Mercedes-Benz and all that. And so one of the things we talked about in the episode was like, we just really didn't see much activations from creators. And then literally a day after we recorded that episode, Bao DM'd me on Instagram. He was like, guess what? I just did a deal with, I think it was like IWC and F1 and everything. So just super, super cool for full circle moment there.
Yeah. Also like a really dope video. Did you, remembering correctly that there was a very fast turnaround time on that?
Well, I don't want to share any sort of inside baseball maybe I'm not supposed to share, but, as we were just talking about, sometimes approval processes take very long. Yes, so, so I think that may have played a role there, but, nevertheless, I think he did a great job. So good work, dude. One thing I wanted to kind of get your take on, Joe, is like, what are some of the things that you're hearing in the coaching? So today is a coaching day. So Tuesdays and Thursdays are when we do coaching in our in Wizards Guild. What are some of the things anonymized? What are some of the things that you're hearing in terms of what folks are experiencing these at this time right now?
Yeah, you know, I've been getting a lot of questions lately about follow-up strategy. I've been referencing the Pino method a lot, right? Because I think it's like, I'm going to guess, right? Probably the beginning of a quarter is generally when we, or like shortly before the beginning of a quarter, we talk about reaching out and people are pitching. But then there's like this summer slowdown, right? Like, oh, there we go. There we go. I have that page dog-eared in my copy of the book, right? Because I reference it so much. I think like there's a little bit of a summer slowdown and brands are points of contacts or on vacation or out, or mm-hmm. like if you have kids, it's just kind of chaos, especially if you're not doing summer camp. And so brands mm-hmm. take a look. Yeah, right. Same here. My wife is a saint. Like I have a million meetings today. And she's like, let me take your parents who are visiting and the kids out all day so that it's not noisy. So like I owe her something very nice, I think. but as a result, like brand, you know, the lead time or how long it takes for brands to get back to you might be long. You may need to, you want to be top of mind. And so, I've been talking about the Pino method, right? Kind of pivot in what you're pitching. And I forgot to mention, and of course the goal of the Pino method is don't just say like, hey, I just wanted to follow up. You want it to be useful and interesting to the person. While also the goal is remain top of mind. You want them to think of you when the time is right. And also be associated with that useful info. So I've been talking about that a lot in Wizards Guild the last few weeks.
You know, I could share a quick anecdote, kind of a frustration, I would say, that my wife and I have been experiencing recently. There were like three deals that we've been nurturing that we had thought like were pretty promising that they might close. And the brand kind of had gone, or the agency had kind of gone radio silent. These were like three different deals, different parties and all that. And we were doing the whole, you know, nurturing process and value, and here's the media kit and here's some testimonials and here's this article and all that. And the brand was just kind of ghosting and, oh, we'll get back to you and all that. And then let it rest for a bit. And then the next follow up, all three of them were like, we've decided to go in a different direction. Dude, that's so frustrating. Like one thing I always prided myself on when I ran the agency was like getting back to people if I knew we were not going to be moving forward with them. Yeah. I just think it's so sketch when brands and agencies don't like do you the dignity of just like telling you that you didn't get it. Like, and I don't know. I don't know why that's like a pet peeve of mine. I really dislike when brands are like, they just ghost you and like, don't tell you didn't get the deal.
Yeah. I felt the same way, like in the job hunt when I was looking for jobs, or like when I was on the other end, I'm like, we need to tell all the candidates who didn't get it that they didn't get it. And they're like, that's so many. And I'm like, it's part of the job. Mm-hmm. Like, what if this is their dream job and they're waiting to hear about, like, we need to say, hey, we went in a different direction. Like, it's just a courtesy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So,
okay. So enough of my grievances. Even I get upset. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. This is, I just want to say, like, Justin has made me a more positive person. I'm like a New Yorker and I'm just like, everyone's out to screw you. And Justin has taught me not to assume malevolence, right? It's like benevolence over malevolence. So
there we go.
I'm trying to be better, but you know, there are things, I think, like in the service of notifying people, I think that's good. On the other side, right?
Okay.
There was a brand last year. I don't think our particular brand deal went very well. There was a misalignment in what they wanted to promote versus what I felt we should promote. And they decided not to go with me, and I followed up and this and that. But I followed up again, and it looks like we're moving forward with a new deal. So like a year later. So just always don't burn bridges, always be top of mind. And you know, I guess assume be benevolent, right? Like, because I could have just been like, oh, they don't care about what I have to say. But it's more about like when the right goal, like when your goals align with their goals, align with your audience.
Dude, look at the arc in your disposition, Joe.
I know.
Like, look at this, bro. It's beautiful. It brings a tear to my eye.
That graphic in the book, I was like, this, did you make this for me? It was the one that's like, they're trying to screw me. I'm like, this is me. I wish I bookmarked that page.
It was personified. Yeah, that was the direction I gave to my designer, was like, make this look like Joe.
Look at
and
Joe.
Something that he would. Yeah, I wish I could find it too. I could like turn to. Oh, it's at the front, actually. Hold on. I can find it fast.
Right up front.
It's up front. This is Joe. Okay, maybe I can't find it.
This is good live stream content, right? Just both of us.
This is excellent.
Flipping through the book. Yeah.
So yeah. So one thing I really want to know from y'all who are listening or watching is, what type of content would you like to see from Joe and I on this podcast? We've done some, I think, really fun things already, which is like one of the upcoming episodes is Joe and I, Joe vibe coded a program where it's a random brand, a fake brand with a fake one-liner of like what they do. And then we have a 60 second countdown timer to pitch the brand. So that was super fun. We did that in person in Boise a few months ago. And then we have another version of this where it's one-liner objections from brands during a negotiation. So the brand says, we only, you know, give free product to creators, or we always do perpetual usage or whatever. And then you have 60 seconds to like overcome the objective. So objections. So doing a lot of really interesting, fun things. But like, again, this is a brand new podcast and like super interested in, you know, folks' feedback, you know, on how we can make it fun. And I think that I want that to be the theme, is we make sponsorships fun or something like that. Because, you know, I don't know, I mean, maybe the vibe can be good cop, bad cop energy, Joe. And like,
I think we'd be good at that.
You know, like speaking of that, and I'll give the most charitable interpretation of a situation and you give the least, you know?
Yes. And I'll give the likely accurate. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So what else do we want to talk about in terms of the holiday stuff? One other things,
I'm sorry. Can I just say one more thing about like the podcast thing?
Yes,
and like,
please. Yes.
There's like, this has been really top of mind. I guess like, take a shot if you're playing the Is AI Mentioned drinking game, but like in the age of AI, I think it's really easy to like outsource a lot of critical thinking. And like the content we are making on this podcast shows that like, we're not out, like we literally see an objection and have to think in 60 seconds, right? Or the brands were not, some of them were real, but like One of them was like flavored ice cubes or something like that, right? Like, yeah. Not a posture ring is something I had to. So like,
Fit Ridge, I think it was called.
Right. So like, I think like what I like about this is like how real, authentic that like, and we're showing, right? We're not just telling. So I'm like really excited about that part.
Well, one thing I think we actually talked about was that like it's only going to get more challenging to cut through the noise.
Yeah.
When trying to reach out to brands now, because if everyone has access to ChatGPT, which you should assume everyone does, everyone can write a good enough sounding email, probably. Yeah. Right. Maybe not structured well because they're not using the rote method. But like, you know, they'll have like proper grammar and, you know, and yeah, all that. And so learning the skill of, let's say, putting together a video pitch or learning how to handle yourself on a live phone call or Zoom call with the brand or having the confidence to approach a sponsor at a trade show and go up to their booth and start a conversation with them. If you can master those skills, or not even master, but just like learn and improve and practice that stuff, AI can't touch that. They can never touch that, right? So yeah. I think that's an important point.
Yeah. Approaching booths at trade shows and conferences, by the way, is how I got like my first 5 sponsors, probably.
Dude.
Like, it's just like, yeah, so good.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah.
I mean, there we go. Case study, case in point.
Yeah.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to talk about this holiday thing, and real quickly, got to give a shout out to Jacob McMillan in the chat saying West Coast energy there. Well, you know what? I did have West Coast energy before, Jacob. I am now in the Midwest. So I don't know if this is Midwest energy, but I appreciate that, dude.
I think like you get nicer the further away from the East. As an East Coaster myself, I think you get nicer the further away you move, right?
You think so?
I think so. We're really close together here on the East Coast. Like, there's not, the first time I heard about unincorporated land, I was like, what is that? Like, that exists.
All right. We got a question here from Calvin saying, I am pitching to brands for the first time. Since holiday times are coming up, not sure how long to wait if a brand doesn't respond. Do I use Pinot here or wait maybe a week and move to the next? What are your thoughts on this, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I like about the Pinot process or the Pinot method is you don't have to, you kind of don't have to think about when to follow up, right? You have a little follow-up schedule. So I would definitely follow that. Right. Like follow up. Because I think like the other thing, something that drives me crazy is I get a lot of like generic podcast guest pitches. And it's like I get one on a Wednesday and then on a Thursday, it's like, hey, just wanted to make sure you saw my email. And I'm like, hey, been gone for less than 24 hours. Like, it don't. Well, what are you doing? Right. Whereas like this is a tried and true method for making sure we're not annoying, providing good follow ups. And so I would definitely follow that. I will say that, like, you know, if we're pitching in August and like 2 to 4 weeks for the novelty puts us in October, this holiday season, you know, maybe the brand is already set or maybe they are not looking for something for this upcoming season. But I would follow that because you want to stay top of mind. The holiday seasons are not the only time that brands do, work with creators. And so I think that this is a not annoying, easy kind of roadmap to follow for following up.
Yeah. You know, this is a question we get actually quite a bit, which is like, you know, when we talk about the Pinot method generally, it's following up with a brand after you've done a successful partnership with them and you're providing the post campaign report and you're illustrating how you can do future engagements with them and all that. But I totally think it's reasonable to do kind of an accelerated or modified Pinot method for a follow-up approach with cold pitching too, right? When you're reaching out and you're trying to understand, like, when should I be following up? Another question we get is like, if we pitch one person a couple times, how long do we need to wait until we pitch someone else at the same brand? And so I think that the what we usually advise in our coaching program is like, you want to do at least 3 to 4 attempts at the best contact before you move on to another one. And that a lot of people just, first of all, let's talk about that for a second. A lot of people are terrified about that suggestion. You're telling me I'm going to email someone four times without them responding to me? And the answer is yes. The fortune really is in the follow-up. And usually what happens, let me kind of quickly explain what happens when you do this. So the first email, if it's a good pitch, they look at that and they say, oh, this is kind of interesting, but I need to talk to my boss about this. Or I'm going to forward this to my boss. And then what happens, right? They're busy. They have other projects on their plate. They have other meetings. People are out of office. They're sick, whatever. Then 5 days pass, 7 days pass, right? You follow up with some other additional value. So you say, hey, I saw this article, thought of you, XYZ. What does that person think when they see that second email? Oh, yeah, I needed to get back to this person, but I still don't have the answer. I haven't talked to my boss. I haven't, you know, had the meeting. We have our next marketing meeting in a week or whatever. So I'm not going to respond. Then what's the third follow-up? Another novelty, you're offering to get on a Zoom call with them, you're offering to do something, blah, 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 blah. And then you follow up again 7 days later. Guess what? Guess what they're thinking now? Okay, I really need to get back to this person now because this is rude now of me. It's three emails. I should probably respond and say either, hey, let's talk, or, oh, I don't have the information yet, or let's get on a call, whatever. And so this is just the psychology that you have to think about when you're the reason that you want to be following up with value, because oftentimes they just don't have all the details in place yet to be able to adequately respond.
Yeah. I think another thing, important thing to remember is like the person you're reaching out to is likely not the only decision maker. Mm-hmm. Like there are other stakeholders. And so providing as much value for them also gives them a little more ammo to go back to their team and be like, hey, I think this person can really help us.
Yeah.
One question that we get a lot that I'm wondering if your stance has changed on is, they're not responding via email. I don't know what to do. You know, I've connected with them on LinkedIn or they followed me on Instagram. Should I DM them? Mm-hmm. Like, when do we go to DMs, if at all?
I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but like sometimes DMs, if you have a connection with a brand contact on Instagram or LinkedIn or something, sometimes one of the nurture points for me will be sending a DM, especially on LinkedIn, because I don't know about you, but like sometimes DMs feel like lower stakes. Like mm-hmm. if I have an email in my inbox with like a bunch of like things that I have to respond to, I'm just like, oh God, I don't know what to say to this yet. But if you're DMing someone or you're sending a voice note or something, like sometimes I will respond to that person on DM before I'll email them. Cause I'll be like,
yeah,
the other thing, this is so stupid, but like some platforms, you cannot mark a DM as unread. And so if I don't respond, I will never respond cause I'll forget. And so I'm like, I need to like respond to this right now. Otherwise I'm going to forget. And so I don't know. I just feel like sometimes people treat email maybe a bit differently than DM. But again, that's only when I think you have like a direct contact, a direct connection with them on another platform.
Yeah, that's the really important point, right? Like, you know how many people slide into my LinkedIn DMs? It's like, hey, Joe, have you had trouble with your content? And I'm like, no, God, spam. Like, I get that they're trying to do a job, but like, do it better, I guess. This is what I'm saying, right? But like, so yeah, if you are, you know, I've taken, probably learned this from you, but like you reach out to somebody or you have that initial conversation, always connect on LinkedIn so that you're connected with them. And then that's a touch point, right? They have told you, I am willing, you know, I'm happy to be connected to you. You're not just sliding into their DMs to be like, hey, did you get that email I sent you? I feel like that's like the modern knocking on someone's office door and be like, hey, I just sent you an email. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in front of my computer. I see it.
Jacob in the chat is asking, what are non-monetary outcomes that brands are hype on right now for sponsorships? Comparison example, if I say AI visibility in the marketing space, brands start throwing money. This is a really interesting question. You know, I really think AI is like a very obvious one right now because like every brand wants to throw AI as, oh, we have AI and do this. Then like that's a very clear reason that brands are spending money right now. So like I know that was your example, Jacob, but like that is absolutely
I just want Jacob, if you clarify, because this could also mean being seen in AI, right? Like ChatGPT recommending.
Oh, like how do I get to the top of results like from an SEO perspective? Yeah, okay, I get it. It's a good point. My go-to answer for this type of question always is like, I'm just going to go straight to their job boards. What are they, what roles are they recruiting for that they need help with right now? And can I help them accomplish that via sponsorship? Is there a way in which I can help them move the needle or the objective on this full-time role that it seems like they're trying? And they'll say in the job description often what the objectives are for that role. So if they're hiring a content marketing manager or they're hiring a digital strategist or they're hiring an influencer marketing manager or whatever, oftentimes it will say in the description what their objectives are, what they're trying to do. And so you could then go and pitch that to them as a freelance creator or freelance consultant or whatever, that you can help them move the needle on that objective. So it's, again, it's like a... I know you're saying non-monetary, but like, I think one thing that's going to happen is that a lot of brands, they see the hype of AI. Okay, we may not have to recruit as many people, or we may not need this many roles, and what things can we offload to AI agents or whatever. I think there is going to be a pullback from that a bit, where people realize that like, okay, there's some things that we actually can't outsource right now. Like the AI ad makers are not great yet. You know, or maybe will they ever be? Like, I don't think that, yeah, there are going to be some brands that like choose to use fully, you know, AI avatars in their ads and all that. But there's going to be a lot of other brands who decide that like, no, like we need a creator to actually. So some brands may eviscerate their creative team or their creative department, and may need help, freelance help, to actually create content on an ongoing basis. So I don't know if that answers your question. Jacob, oh, he said, so it's just marketing, but with your own brand attached. I see. Yeah. That's really how I would, approach it is say that like, hey, I can, you don't need to hire me full time. You don't need to pay me benefits or whatever, but yeah, it's going to be $7,500 a month. Here's the thing, dude. You have to think about how many brands exist out there. Like, yes, there's the tier one brands, the Nikes, the Walmarts, the Targets, the, you know, the big, big conglomerates that are spending millions of dollars. But there are so many more smaller to medium-sized companies that desperately need help, whether this is brands in your local community, whether this is medium tier brands that are doing a couple million to $50 million of revenue or whatever. They desperately need help. And I'm not convinced that they're all going to suddenly adopt AI for their marketing strategies. It may be you coming to them and say like, hey, I can actually create some more compelling ad content for you to drive more foot traffic into your three coffee roasteries within your local community. So I don't know. I think there's going to be a very, very long tail of like opportunities for creators still.
I actually interviewed my friend Matt Medeiros today. He runs a couple of like WordPress content properties. And he said, one of the biggest skills that you could have right now is being a content creator for a brand who doesn't necessarily know how to create the content. And Nathan Berry recently posted on LinkedIn and probably other places, but I saw it on LinkedIn, that like every business is becoming a content business. So like if you can lower the risk, right? Because like bringing on a full-time employee to make content for them is a big risk for them, right? If you could lower the risk by like showing them and doing a couple of things and giving them results, that's big value for them.
The other example I've given before about this whole idea is like, what if your pitch to the brand was like, hey, let me be your extremely online consultant, right? Like a lot of brands would be so desperate to have a Slack room with someone who is online all day. They know the trending sounds. They know the memes that are happening right now. And like on TikTok, for example, like there are some memes or trends that go that have like a 72-hour half-life, or you know, it's very quick, right? A trend happens and then everyone jumps on it and brands are in there inserting themselves. But like a lot of brands, they don't have someone on their team who have the bandwidth to just be like online all day, right? And like seeing what's happening. But there's a lot of brands who would love to insert themselves into the narrative with some sort of spin about how their brand is relevant with this trending sound or whatever. How about you be that person? You're online all the time already. How about you have it? And oh, by the way, how about you offer to create the content for them too? You say, okay, it's going to be $7,500 a month, 10 grand a month or whatever to be this consultant for you. A lot of brands would kill for something like that. So again, a lot of people don't look at that as like a sponsorship, but it absolutely is. You're helping the brand accomplish something and probably distributing that content on your platforms is part of it, but maybe not the whole thing. So I think, again, bringing this full circle, we're talking about the holidays here and how do we, you know, convince brands that, like, you know, they should be investing in someone like you when you reach out now, time of recording in August. It's things like this. It's creative ideation. It's thinking, going and looking at what the brand is currently doing, identifying gaps in their strategy, coming to them and not saying like, hey, you're an idiot for not doing this. Hey, this is an opportunity. Let me help you do this in a way that is kind of turnkey.
How are you helping brands cut through the noise when starting November 10th, every single one of them is sending out an early Black Friday email and then a bunch of emails on Black Friday. And then surprise, not surprise, we've extended our sale, right? Like, how are you helping brands differentiate when everybody else is saying the same thing?
A bit of this is one thing I learned when I was studying copywriting, when I was first launching my course a couple years ago, was I can't remember who recommended to do this, but like on Black Friday or on Cyber Monday, you know, when you get the slew of just like hundreds of emails or whatever, I went through and I looked at which ones did I click. And I looked at the subject line. I looked at who it was sent from. Right. So like how much do I trust this brand or this sender? Because it was both brands, it was creators who were selling stuff. Like it was everything, right? And I went and I really studied those emails. Why was it those things that I opened? And I think like not enough people are students of the process. Mm-hmm. Right. So like what advice could you give to a brand to say, like, hey, I went back and I studied the 12 posts that you made in November of last year, November and December for the holidays, and here's actually 15 different real content buckets or types that I think you should be creating for this holiday season. You think any creator is coming to them with that type of proposal?
No way. And like on the other side, right, you're reaching out in August saying, hey, I noticed that most of the emails that I clicked on for Black Friday were brands I had heard from in the last 6 to 8 weeks, right? What if starting in October we start? Because like that's the other thing, right? Everyone's like, happy remind me to unsubscribe from your email list day. Right? It's like you haven't sent me an email all year and now you're telling me about a sale. So like, you know, there's a lot of ways that are not just like, I'll help you promote your Black Friday sale or I'll help you, you know, increase your sales in December. It's like, how can I help you be top of mind and build back that trust that you had like when someone actually did join your mailing list? Or whatever, to follow you on Instagram.
I think we just made a bunch of people a bunch of money, Joe. What do you think?
I think so too. Whereas you have the cash register, right? I don't have the cash register.
It was life-changing. I think I see some people crying in the comments. It was life-changing. This is fun, dude. Thanks for joining us today. And thanks for each and every one of you for tuning in yet again. As I mentioned, if you are interested in our sponsorship coaching program, you'd love our support for the holidays to try to land some of these deals. I think Bianca actually is in the chat here and she may have dropped Joe's call link if you want to chat with him about whether coaching is good for you or not. The podcast, y'all, go subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, because we're going to be dropping straight fire every single week. And I'm very excited. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time. Peace.